Well, let's jump into the message for tonight. I want to talk to you about God dreams. When God speaks in your sleep. Let me ask you, how many of you, and I'm not saying God dreams right now, but how many of you have dreams at night, rarely, frequently? Okay. Huh? Yeah. Fairly frequently. Did I say rarely? Okay. Well, I can see how that could be confusing. So we got a bunch of dreamers here. How many of you had dreams and you really felt like God was speaking to you or showing you something? A number of you. How many of you have had dreams like that and then actually you have seen what you dreamed come into fulfillment? Okay. How many of you have had dreams you felt like were the Lord? And when you woke up, you felt like, I know exactly what that means. And then as it unfolded, you realized how wrong you were. Didn't mean what you thought it did. It can happen both ways. So we want to talk about God dreams tonight. And of course, you could do a whole series on this. There have been many big, thick books written on it. A lot to say. This is kind of a basic meat and potatoes teaching about God dreams. And we'll just jump right in and start with the first thing I want to share is God does speak through dreams. We find this throughout the scripture. You've got Joseph who dreamed. You've got Daniel who interpreted dreams. You've got kings who had dreams and pharaohs who had dreams. And actually God was showing them things about the future. You have people in the scripture who interpreted dreams. In the New Testament, we see lots of dreams, particularly around the birth narrative of Jesus. You know, Joseph had a heavy-duty decision about Mary. Like he didn't know how she got pregnant. He knew she was pregnant, and he knew it wasn't his child. But in a dream, God spoke to him. God spoke to him several times during that time about flee, because Herod's coming after you. Go to Egypt, had a dream, go back. The wise men who came, they were warned of God in a dream not to go back to Herod and tell him that they had found the child. And you see these dreams in Scripture. And one of the most fascinating things about Joseph's dream in the New Testament, Joseph, the husband of Mary, is those occasions when the scripture says this, an angel came to him in a dream. That in a state of sleep, he experienced in the realm of the spirit, with his spirit, an interaction with an angel who spoke to him. And that's just amazing to me. Because when we're talking about dreams, we are talking something that's not material or physical, but something that has to do with our mind, our subconscious mind, and obviously our spirit as believers. So God does speak in a dream. Look at this section of scripture in the book of Job, and it's really interesting. One of Job's friends is talking about the Lord. He says, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he, that is God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Now that's a pretty fancy way of saying, hey, when you're sleeping, God can talk to you and put information inside of you, and you know it's Him that you've heard from the Lord. So God does speak through dreams. The Bible tells us that. Even one of the characteristics of Holy Spirit-filled believers in today's church is that the young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams. Now, I don't think that was an exception, a clause of exception, like only young men will see visions and only old men will dream dreams. But we're told these are some characterizations of when the Spirit's poured out, as it was on the day of Pentecost, moving among God's people, there'll be visions and dreams. And really, I like what we find here in Job, a dream and a vision of the night. A dream is really like seeing a vision while you're sleeping. And when you're awake, you can have a vision. Intrinsic in your mind, you may see a vision. God may show you a vision. Sometimes it may be projected outside of you so that not just with the eye of your mind, but with your physical eyes, you can see a vision being broadcast before you. I've had that happen a few times, where it's just like projected out in front of me. I could still see the physical environment and everything that was going on, but seeing a vision, you can have that kind of vision that's external, or you can have one that's internal, where you're seeing something in your head. And if you've heard me teach on listening to the Spirit at times, I believe God works through the part of us we call imagination. A lot of times with our visions and stuff, that's the part of our soul and our spirit that God communicates through. So God does speak through dreams. Second statement I want to make is, not every dream is a God dream. This is where people can get in trouble. So we have to be able to discern whether or not a dream is from God. Certainly not all dreams. I know I've had dreams that weren't from God, right? Have you ever had a dream that God couldn't amen? You've had some that God would owe me, right? Not every dream is a God dream. In Psalm 91, what we call the soldier psalm, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. That word, the Hebrew word for terror there, is the word pachad, and it means like to be panic stricken, filled with fear. It's the term that you would associate with a nightmare or a terror in the night. How many of you have had a nightmare? How many of you as a child had night terrors or nightmares? I remember that. The first one I ever remember, I was about 4 years old, and I remember having a dream that just really, really frightened me and scared me. It involved a big black panther that was chasing me, and I remember waking up being terrified. That wasn't a God dream for me because it really negatively affected me. We are told that in Matthew 13, this is some kingdom teaching that Jesus was giving. But in this truth that he's teaching, we do see a principle. He's talking about the parable he put before them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. It's a principle there. We know that the enemy works in darkness, that men love darkness rather than night. And through the years, numbers of times, I've prayed with people who have been tremendously and terribly and negatively affected by night terrors or nightmares. And some of those could be rooted in some trauma, some abuse, some terrible accident, or some great loss that that person may have experienced at some point in their life. And in their subconscious, that sometimes comes forth, and it can be very heavy, very very frightening, and so forth. So not every dream is a God dream. Let's break it down this way. It's like a soulish dream. In Ecclesiastes, I think it's Ecclesiastes 11:5 or 5. You can find it in Ecclesiastes. But it talks about how in much activity a man dreams. I believe that's just soulish dreams. I call it a movie of moments and reflections being processed in your soul. Have you ever had I have dreams sometimes that just wear me out. You know, like you wake up, I'm so glad that's over. I was tired. You know, I had one of those just a week or so ago, and I told Mickey, it just wore me out. I was going all over the place doing all this stuff. Sometimes you may wake up and you remember a dream, and in the dream you can associate some things maybe that happened the previous day in the day, or a conversation you had, or somewhere you went, or somebody you talked to, or something that you saw, and you can see nuggets or pieces of that in a dream. It's like your soul is processing, you know, everything you went through and just making a movie out of it for you. So I'm not saying there's anything necessarily supernatural about that kind of dream. Call it a pizza dream, you know, we do. You know, you ate too many spices and so you had some dreams. Well, and then there can be dark dreams, an attack from the enemy in the spiritual realm, attacking you in the night season. But also, in this same category, would be dreams that are emanating from your flesh. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you are coloring outside the lines and you're lusting. Maybe you visited a pornography site or something like that, and now you're having sexually explicit dreams that don't involve your spouse or someone to, outside the boundaries of marriage and so forth. Those are basically just can be flesh and sinfulness that you're participating in and that's affecting your subconscious processing at night. Yes, and the enemy can work through that. Sometimes the enemy may target you and come against you in the night season. You may wake up and you sense there's something going on, and that's when you start praying, pleading the blood of Jesus, using your authority. So you have to discern these things. And then lastly, and we could spend a lot more time on each of these, but lastly, inspiration and information from God. These are God dreams, where God is communicating to you in some way through a dream. So, not every dream is a God dream, but there may be times you do have a God dream. So don't put all your dreams in the same bucket. You know, be sensitive. Lord, are you saying something through this? You know, is there a warning? Is there some instruction? Is there something prophetic that reveals my future or my destiny that you're trying to address through this dream? Because all of those can be true when a God dream is given you. Now, the next statement that I want to make is there are biblical principles that help discern our dreams. The Hebrew word for dream is chalom, and it refers to the act of dreaming during sleep, just dream, to have a dream, but it's used in other places to speak of making someone, to strengthen someone, to make someone strong, or to restore someone, for someone to be made well and healthy. So when you put these meanings together in a God dream, God is communicating with the purpose of restoring, of making whole, or bringing things together so that you'll be strengthened, you'll be stronger, help you grow and mature, and so forth. But here are three questions to ask to try to discern if your dream may indeed be a God dream. First question, what do the scriptures say? Is your dream in communicating to you something that is unscriptural? If it's communicating to you to believe or do something that's unscriptural, that is not a God dream. It might be a flesh dream or a demonic dream, dark dream, but it is not a God dream. Now, God may use a dream to address something that you're wrongly believing or to address something that you're wrongly doing, but he won't communicate to you that you need to believe wrongly or do wrongly. So you need to discern the difference in that. So what do the scriptures say? Well, I had a dream that the Lord wanted to bless me, and I went into this bank, and I saw myself robbing the bank, and I was able to take that money and invest it, and I created generational wealth for my children in a dream. Listen, if you have that dream, don't go get your gun out of the gun cabinet and take off. That's not a God dream. Okay, you're being seduced and deceived. So what do the scriptures say? The Holy Spirit and the inspiration that God would try to be giving you through a dream is not going to violate the truths and principles that we have in the Word of God. Everybody has a standard by which you need to gauge everything. And as a believer, our standard needs to be the Word of God. Because it's either going to be that or the word of man in some way. Second question, what do the symbols suggest? And this is really part of not only discerning if it's a God dream, but if it is, how do you properly interpret the dream? But sometimes having an understanding of what symbols may mean can be an indicator the Lord's trying to speak to you. For example, in the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph, the young son of Jacob, you remember? Now, he had dreams early in his life. He saw these sheaves, these grain sheaves, and them bowing down before his sheave, and it was saying that his brothers, his family, was going to bow before him. Then he saw had one with the moon and the stars bowing before him. And so this was all about his family. Even though he was like the youngster, his family did have a younger brother than he, Benjamin. But Joseph, his older brothers, kind of looked down on him. He had these dreams, and he may not have necessarily shared them in the right way with his brothers, but basically, I had these dreams, and y'all are going to fall down at my feet and serve me, you know. And his brothers kind of hated him for that. So that's his dream, you know. His brothers are on there looking up to him as he's been exalted over them. But the next thing that happens is those brothers throw him in a hole. They're going to leave him to die, and he's in the bottom of a hole looking up at his brothers. The exact opposite was happening concerning what he dreamed. But then out of the pit that he was thrown in, they got him out of the pit. They sold him into slavery. He ended up in the house of Potiphar, and God blessed him there. Then he was falsely accused of sexually assaulting Potiphar's wife, and then he was wrongly convicted and thrown into prison. And while in prison, there were two dreams that he interpreted. In other words, God gave a dream to the butler, and God gave a dream to the baker of Pharaoh. He had tossed those guys in jail, and they were in there, and the butler had a dream, and he saw this vine that had three branches, and he had a cup, and he was serving Pharaoh, and somebody told him, as he was telling his dream, Joseph saw how sad he was and interpreted the dream. He said, I can tell you what it means. That means in 3 days, you're going to be restored and you're going to be serving Pharaoh his wine again. And it happened. On the third day, he was restored. Well, then the baker had a dream. And the baker dreamed and he saw these baskets of bread, three of them on his head, and he shared the dream with Joseph, and Joseph said, well, the three baskets mean 3 days. In other words, he understood those baskets, as he did the butler, the vines, the three of them represented days. He said, for you, though, basically, you're going to lose your head. You're going to go before the Pharaoh. You're going to be executed, and you're toast, buddy. And it happened just like he interpreted the dream. Now, what was God doing? God was giving those dreams to position Joseph so that Joseph's dream could be fulfilled. And that brings us to the fourth dream we find in Joseph's life, in his story. Pharaoh had a dream where he saw these cows coming out of the river, and he saw some that were skinny and he saw some that were fat, and Joseph correctly interpreted it. God gave Joseph the interpretation, and then he was promoted, and he was second only to Pharaoh. He oversaw the whole land of Egypt, the empire of Egypt. And God used dreams to position Joseph for the preservation of the entire nation of Israel, because God had made a promise to Abraham. That's how powerful those dreams are. But those symbols had meaning. And by correctly understanding those symbols, God was magnified and glorified even before Pharaoh. Like, where are we going to find a man as wise as this man? I'm going to put you over everything. And by the way, that was part of the interpretation that Joseph gave him too. You need to put somebody over all this, because there's going to be all these years of plenty, and we've got to set aside for the years of famine. So what do the symbols suggest? You know, you may see yourself in a fancy car going down the road, and the Lord's speaking to you about something to do with ministry, and it's like your ministry is going to accelerate or speed up. Be careful with this, though. Just because a symbol might mean a particular thing to a particular person, don't think that that symbol is going to always mean that to every person. I think the Lord communicates to us in light of our understanding. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He speaks to us in a way that we can comprehend and understand. The Bible also says that often God will speak through these dark sayings, not dark in the sense of evil, but hidden, disguised, with the purpose of us having to search its meaning out, to pray into it, to search it out. And that's just part of the way God does it. The scripture tells us that he often will do it that way. He'll kind of conceal it so that you'll have to dig and pray and search to find the meaning of it. And when you do, usually, you know, you have that witness about that. And the third question is, what purpose is being served in this dream? Is the Lord being glorified? Is it speaking to me in such a way that I'm going to be made stronger, or something's going to be restored for me, or God's going to position for me? Is it unveiling the future for me? Because you can have, for instance, you can have a warning dream. I've had warning dreams before. You can have a dream that's very prophetic in the sense that the Lord is pulling back the veil and showing you what your future is going to look like as you walk out what he gives you to do. And it can be very encouraging in that way. It can strengthen your faith. Sometimes dreams are just very instructive. You may be seeking wisdom, a solution for a problem you're facing, and the Lord may give you the answer in a dream. I was reading about a man by the name of Elias Howe who invented the sewing machine. And he had worked and worked and worked on trying to get the needle to work right, and he just couldn't do it. He had the idea, but he never could get the eye of the needle just right. Well, he went to sleep one night, and in a dream, it was kind of like he was being persecuted, and like a demand was being put on, if you don't come up with this solution, then it's going to go really bad for you. And he was really stressed out in the dream, but that really caused him to become focused in the dream. And then he saw a needle, and instead of the eye of the needle being up on the shaft or the top of the needle, it was down at the point the eye was. And he started working with the needle on the sewing machine so the eye would be at the bottom. And it wasn't long till he invented it, and it changed the whole garment-making industry. Came to him in a dream. For you guys that like to bow hunt deer, you probably heard of the Matthews Bow Company. I've got a Matthews bow myself. And the owner of the Matthews Bow Company was actually a good friend of Lenny LeBlanc, who was here a couple of Sundays ago. But this was back in the early 2000s. Lenny shared with me that the young man had a dream at night. He was trying to design a compound bow. And in a dream, the Lord showed him the design of how to make a cam in that bow so that when you could pull it back and it would release, and you wouldn't have to hold it like this. The cam was made so that you pull it back and then it would lock in and you could really aim and just release it. It became famous. I mean, it was like the Cadillac of bows for a long time. Came to the young man in a dream. For you entrepreneurial people, your breakthrough may hinge on a revelation God might just give you while you sleep. What is the purpose of that? Now, we should... I clicked my thing at some point while I'm preaching here and didn't know it. I'll go on to this, the fourth one. We should approach our dreams with faith and wisdom. This is the fourth statement. What do I mean by that? Well, be very careful if you're making major decisions, for instance, like a huge purchase or investment or who you're going to marry, those real weighty, heavy-duty decisions. Be careful of just having a dream and taking off. I would encourage you to seek counsel and let God confirm it. The scripture says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. Dreams are of such a nature, you could really step wrongly, even though you may sense this is the Lord. I feel strongly this is the Lord. But if it's involving you making some type of major decision, get confirmation. The Lord will do that. From the time that Joseph in the Old Testament, the young man that was thrown in the pit, then went to Potiphar, then to prison, then finally in the palace beside Pharaoh, that took about 20 years. So that's that second one, patience and perseverance. But he hung on to that word. We're told in the book of Psalms that the word of God tested him until it came to pass. He believed it was the Lord. He held on to that word. But God along the way, he confirmed it to him. Even though his brothers wanted to kill him, at the last minute he was spared. The older brother spoke up and they sold him into slavery. And even though he was sold into slavery, he ended up in Potiphar's house, who was an official in Egypt. It's really, really, if you're going to be a slave, he was in a good setting. And God favored him, blessed Potiphar while he was there. Then another bad thing happened, put him in prison. But then he had so much favor in prison. Now get this, so much favor in prison that the jailer of the prison turned it over to Joseph while he's a prisoner. It's just everywhere God put him, he was being tested, but he remained faithful and walked in wisdom, and God blessed him. You may say, well, I had a dream, and I mean, the opposite happened. Well, so did Joseph. But he was faithful, and he used wisdom, and God led him through it until at last he was promoted. And you look back, and everything that came against him, like being sold into slavery with those slave traders, that long journey, well, he's overhearing about how trading. He ends up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar puts him over keeping the books, administrating his household. He's learning organization and administration and dealing with accounting and books. Then he gets falsely accused and thrown into prison. Then he gets all this experience of administrating the entire penal system, dealing with a lot of bad dudes, but keeping everything lined up. Now, when he gets promoted to Pharaoh's side, what's he going to need? He's going to need administrative abilities to oversee the empire, all this accounting, organizing, to handle all these, storing all of these crops and setting them aside for the years and keeping the books of people that are giving out their rations during the famine. All of that, a skill set and ability Joseph learned while in the pit, while in Potiphar's house, and while in prison. He walked it out in faith and wisdom. The word of God tested him until the day came for it to be fulfilled. And as a result of that, he was able to welcome his family who had betrayed him into Egypt and take care of them during a time when they would have died had it not been for the position that Joseph had in Pharaoh's kingdom. You see the hand of God. So you never know the weight your dream may carry or the battles you have to endure before you see the fulfillment. So it's going to take patience and endurance and perseverance. Then the last thing, I would encourage you, always approach your dreams with faith and wisdom and a dependence on divine intervention. We all realize as believers the path that the Lord leads us to walk. Along the way, there's going to be those steps of faith. In other words, God, if you don't do this, it can't happen. That certainly was true if you trace the trail of Joseph's life in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can see that reliance on divine intervention. The very nature of a God dream is something supernatural is occurring. You are receiving a deposit from the mind of God. A word of wisdom. A warning of something to avoid. A correction of something you need to change. Some guidance and direction. Something you need to do. Some place you need to go. Someone you need to meet. All these kind of things we find in the dreams that are recorded in Scripture, and the same God of the dreams of the Bible is the God who will speak to you while you sleep at night. So we should approach our dreams with faith and wisdom. Now, lastly and quickly, a God dream is another way God chooses to love on you. It's a good thing when God chooses to share some revelation, some information with you. It's a good thing when God decides he wants to communicate with you in the night season. He's showing you something you're going to need. He's showing you something for a purpose. He's giving it to you to help you. And sometimes, and this is a whole other facet of dreams and the study of dreams, is how to discern whether a dream's for you or for someone else or for a group, for your family. Sometimes the Lord may give you a dream that concerns someone else. And then you have to discern, am I to deliver this dream or am I to intercede into this dream because you're showing me something? I think that's where you always start with prayer. You begin to pray and so forth. I love this. This is Genesis 45. This is the chapter where it's the showdown happens. When after years, Joseph's brothers stand before him and he reveals to them, I am Joseph, your brother. They didn't recognize him. I mean, he was had all that Egyptian foo-foo on. You know, he probably had that Egyptian sound in his speech. He's speaking Egyptian and all this. They didn't recognize him. He unveiled himself. I am Joseph, your brother. Oh, that's when the crying started. And that's when they got really afraid. Oh, man. He's got the power to execute us. But, oh, I love Joseph's heart. Joseph, in the Old Testament, Joseph is just one of those incredible saints of God that we can learn so much from. So much wisdom in this young man's life. Look at Genesis 45. This is verse 5. Then I jump to verses 7 and 8. But now, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. He's thinking about them. Because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Isn't that something? Wow, if we could learn to maybe think through our wounds and our hurts and the stuff we had to deal with in life, even the stuff that the devil did or our sin caused us, and begin to see how God used that to help us or help someone else in some way. Let me tell you, no matter what you've gone through, what you've done, how bad it may have been, you may feel irredeemable or like there's no place for me. Part of a dream, again, is to restore A lot of times God wants you to know, listen, yeah, you messed up. But let me show you what I can now do if you'll give me your heart and let me restore and rebuild and help you. God can use you to help many others. These brothers are standing before Joseph and he says, basically, don't be too hard on yourself. Yeah, you sold me into slavery. You wanted to kill me. Then you decided, no, we'll just sell him into slavery and lie to our father and tell him some wild animal killed him. That was what they did. But Joseph saw it this way. You know, you did that, but it was God sending me here. God was working. He didn't cause you to do that. But God used that to get me where I needed to be to save my family. And I would encourage you, regardless of what you've gone through, you can take that with you. That where you are and what you've gone through, if you'll let him, God can work that together for good. He really can. We have his promise. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. In other words, me being here is going to keep our family line alive for generations to come. And we know God had told Abraham, basically, that through his seed the whole world would be blessed. Abraham had a messianic prophetic promise on his life. And Joseph was one of the means by which God kept that alive. He said, for posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. Look here. It was God that did that. He made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. How powerful is that? When he was thrown down in that hole, when he was sent to that prison, and when he was left there and forgotten by the butler who had been delivered, God was preparing that young man to take his place beside Pharaoh to save his father Jacob and his brother and all their family line. And that can give you a new view on that terrible past you may have endured when you put it in the hands of God. He's up to something, and he's up to something good in your life. So I would encourage you, pay attention to your dreams. Try to discern them. There's some people, we have people here tonight pretty good at interpreting dreams. You know, get confirmation, pray, wait, handle it wisely. But please don't wall off the idea that God speaks through dreams. Because he does. He does. And when he does, it's a benefit to us. Amen? Mickey and I have had a number of dreams that have been pivotal in our lives. And I won't get into those tonight, and I know many of you have as well. It might be profitable for you to revisit some of those. I would encourage you, when you have a dream that you feel the Lord speaking through, to journal it, write it out. I've got a number of files on my computer, and I'll put dream. I'll title the dream, and I'll put the date so I can look back at it later. Another thing that, I don't have my phone in my pocket tonight, but most everybody has a smartphone. Most of our smartphones has a recorder on it. And even in the middle of the night, a dream. I use it a lot if I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm pondering and I'm meditating and the Lord starts giving me revelation. I'll just sit there and talk and record it. It's just a good way to capture the emotion, the words, what you're getting in the moment. You may want to write it down later. But in other words, capture it some way. Pray into it. Study it. Compare it to Scripture. And see what the Lord may be saying to you. And again, just because you have a dream tonight, it doesn't mean it's about something that's going to happen tomorrow. It can be. But I think a lot of times the heavier, the more specific, the more graphic and vivid things may be, seems like there's more weight on it. A lot of times the distance is a little farther. So it's something about something big going on, and it's going to take some preparation for God to move all the pieces into place for that thing, just like Joseph. And you see that in a number of people in Scripture, where it takes a while. It doesn't have to. It's not always the case. You know, Paul had a vision in the night, come over to Macedonia, and he took off the next morning and stepped into a big move of God in Philippi. Well, stand with me. Thank you for listening. I didn't notice anybody trying to get a dream while I was preaching tonight. Lord, thank you. You are the God of revelation. You're not mute. You still speak. Thank you for the way you can speak to us through your word. Speak to us by your spirit, through a vision, through a dream, through a prophecy. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of revelations that we have through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that anytime you're speaking or showing us something, ultimately, the end goal is for us to be more like Jesus. Speak to us, Lord, as you desire in our dreams. We know we can't just say, I'm going to have a dream and have one, or I'm going to get a prophecy and have one. You are the initiator of revelation. Lord, as it pleases you, unveil and reveal during the night seasons, Lord, those dreams. May we awaken with a good memory of those things. And Lord, when it's you, help us to follow through. Help us to keep in mind so that your purposes can be fulfilled in our lives. Perhaps, Lord, even as Peter wrote, that we're to stir ourselves up by way of remembrance, that there's someone here tonight that you are wanting them to remember that dream they had. They filed it away and haven't thought of it maybe in a long time. And perhaps you can take a moment and say, Lord, I open my heart to you. Speak to me in the night season. Protect us from the enemy, from sowing those tares in our dreams. May we not be deceived by our own flesh and natural inclinations, but may we be led by your Spirit even in discerning our dreams. Thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name. Now I want to ask our prayer team members who are here to serve tonight, would you come up, please? If you need prayer tonight, we invite you to come forward. We have people that will join with you in prayer, agree with you in prayer. If you have a need going on, you need somebody to agree with you, this is a good time for that. If you're burdened, need someone to agree with you, just come on up, whatever the need may be. I do invite you back this Sunday morning. We're continuing in the series, Family Foundations. Real excited about the message I'll be sharing this Sunday. And I encourage you to invite a friend and come. And also a church family. You may begin to notice some little video clips on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube about Grace House. When you see those, it's helpful if you'll share it with your friends, because some of them will involve some testimonies. I know we had one downloaded today. Andrew did a thing on Psalm 46. But when you would like and to share that with your friends. It puts it before more eyes, just so that the testimony of the Lord. We want God's goodness to just saturate our region. People be aware of how good He is, how much He loves them. So please help us in that endeavor. It is helpful. Thanks for being here tonight. They're playing music. You come and get prayer. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Love you all. Let's give the Lord a hand tonight.